Hey guys, buckle up for a new episode of Champions Waste Sports, the best dadgum place to find your coverage of FSU athletics. Whether you're a casual fan, an alumni, or you bleed garnet and gold, you have found the right spot. So join the climb, become unconquered with Champions Waste Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Patrick Polo, Matthew Bryce, and Jeff Rain.
Everybody, welcome to Champions Waste Sports. I'm your host, Jeff Rains. Tonight, guys, on the episode, we're going to talk about everything going on around Champions Waste Sports. But first, I want to introduce my co-host, Matt Bryce, and also a guy that I guess, if y'all haven't heard, he's the founder, creator, voice of Plant the Spear. That's Mr. Jesse Coger. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Appreciate you having me on, Jeff. Always a pleasure to join you.
Yeah. Well, Matt, how's your week been?
Not too bad. Just, it's a Wednesday.
Jesse, me and you both cover Florida State. We're really here to talk really about the scheduling of it. When news broke on Monday about the ACC, dropping the schedule, what was your initial thoughts on it?
Well, obviously we knew, who we were going to play long before the order got put out. But, it's always important, I think, to wait to get that order because, the timing of the scheduling, the bye weeks, back-to-back road games and things like that, that really does play such an important role. And I understand that a lot of people, it really doesn't matter if they scheduled North Alabama 12 times. People are going to complain about the layout of the schedule. It's just the way people do. I'm really not mad at this schedule, to be perfectly honest with you. I think it kind of sets up well for what Florida State is trying to do. I understand there's a little apprehension by people about having two really hard games early in the season in September, but I don't really see that as a problem. I think it gives you time to recover from a loss if you were to drop one, hopefully not both, but, of those games. Because one example that I used in a schedule breakdown that I did was, think about LSU last year. So they lost to Florida State to open the season, and then they also got housed by Tennessee at home shortly after that. But prior to the last game of the season, when they had a just absolute disaster of a loss to Texas A&M, they were number 5 in the country. They were able to rebound to a point where they were in contention for the playoffs. Now, of course, Florida State doesn't have an Alabama on the schedule after Clemson that they can get that marquee win. But front-loading the schedule is still, to me, it's not necessarily a bad thing. And I'm sure as we get farther into it, we'll expand on some of the games. But, I don't mind getting Clemson early. They're breaking in a new quarterback. They're breaking in a new offensive coordinator. I think it's okay to get them first. They played Duke and two cupcakes before Florida State. So, I know he's a freshman, but you saw how Klubnik looked in that Orange Bowl against Tennessee. And, he's going to go from playing Duke, who I think is coming back to earth this year, and two cupcake games to a team like Florida State. So the level of competition that's going to jump is going to, you could kind of catch them off guard early. So I think the schedule sets up pretty good. I think there's some fun games, some fun matchups. I think Florida State should be able to really have a really good year with the schedule, despite if they were to drop a game or so somewhere in that first month of September.
Yeah, I think it's like you said, Duke, and I think FIU or something is who they – I think that's who they played right before us.
I think it's Duke and then maybe Charleston Southern, I think, or something like that, and then Florida Atlantic. So, and then Florida State.
Well, I like the whole getting them early because, like you said, if we do drop that game in Death Valley, and Death Valley, we've all said, it is a difficult place to go play. Their record's what, 40 home wins in a row
at Death Valley? I forgot that South Carolina won in Clemson last year. I actually put that out, and then I was like, someone had mentioned that South Carolina did snap the streak. But regardless of that, we haven't won there in almost a decade. And you also they haven't lost an ACC game at home since 2016. So, regardless of what South Carolina did to them last year, Death Valley is a hard place to win. And that's why when people talk about, you know, Florida State should go 12-0 and undefeated next year, it's like, yeah, man, Alabama is stacked every year and they didn't go undefeated last year. Undefeated is hard. Like, you're going to have an off week. You're going to have a tough road game. Now, do I feel like this is the best chance that Florida State's had in years to beat Clemson at home? Of course. But there's still a possibility. You know, they still got a stacked roster. They still are a good team. They won 11 games last year in a down year. So, you know, like you said, that's still a hard place to play. So the possibility of, you know, 11-1 is still there. But, you know, it's not going to be an easy game by any means.
No. And my thing is on that is, you know, the way the schedule sets up. Matt, you back with us?
I think so. I reset the darn router. I moved rooms, so hopefully this works, but you never know.
All right. Yeah, we just went ahead and just started diving into the schedule. I mean, what was your thoughts, Matt, on the when they released the schedule Monday?
I want to give credit to the ACC for not doing, you know, what like the Big Ten or the SEC did, I think, in just dropping the schedule on a random Wednesday in the middle of the fall. They made an event out of it. It made it much for a network that doesn't really do a lot of good things. They did something really well there. Made it much watched TV, in my opinion, if you're a Florida State fan. So I got to give credit to them. I usually bash ACC Network, but this time I give credit. And then, I mean, you got a tough first month, but I can take umbrage with the three home games back-to-back. You like to sprinkle, like, you want to put Wake or Pitt in there. That would be nice. But, I mean, you got a tough first month, and hopefully you can find a way to go 3-1.
Yeah. And like we were saying, you know, say we go 3-1 the first month. The way the schedule, in my eyes, pans out, that gives us enough time to recoup from that, to get back, you know, even with just one loss, you know, to potentially get back in the college football playoff picture, the ACC championship picture and all that, which I'm good about. The only thing I think benefited us last year, and people say that, you know, they like it this year, being able to focus on LSU all off season. I like that week zero matchup and that week zero, you know, like we had Duquesne this year. I kind of like that because it was the fact that got the kids, that got the players timing down, chemistry down. It got their first game jitters out of them. Where when we went into New Orleans and LSU had all them first game jitters, you know, chemistry issues and stuff like that. I just wish, you know, maybe moving the South Alabama game, I think that's who it is, to week zero and then giving us the off week in between Miami, Florida is what I would have liked. You know, that way to me, it just give a better, honestly, it'd give our team that shot to get comfortable with each other before going into that big matchup in Orlando with LSU.
You know, one thing that a point that I had made, because I went on a LSU radio show last year to preview the game for them, and they asked me, they thought, what do you think is a bigger advantage? Do you think that week zero game was an advantage for Florida State? And I said, oh, I mean, of course it is, but they ran a very vanilla game plan. They didn't show anything on purpose. And I think it did give them an opportunity to get in rhythm. On the flip side of things, you also had FSU trying to prepare for an LSU team that had literally zero film. You had no clue what Brian Kelly and Jaden Daniels at LSU was going to be able to do. So you were flying blind into that game. And I think now you have that opportunity to be better prepared for them. And the point that I made was, I think last year it was more like Florida State caught LSU at a good time. They caught them when they were still new. They were still learning. I think this year it's going to be more LSU catching Florida State at a bad time because Florida State is now the experienced team. They're bringing all that back. You know, the week zero game would be nice, but you also have a lot of returning production that are familiar with each other. You know, last year, had you not had that week zero game, you know, you had Johnny Wilson, Micah Pittman, Trey Benson, all those guys who had never played together. Now I think you have enough familiarity there that I don't think it'll hinder Florida State, but I do think that's still going to be just such a massive heavyweight bout. But I think the fact that now you have some film to work with, you kind of know what they're going to do, And, you know, you got a better chance to game plan against them with a team that's probably a little more familiar with each other than what LSU has. I think they'll probably be okay without it. But, yeah, I wouldn't mind of seeing, like, North Alabama first.
Yeah. Matt, yeah, what's your thoughts on that?
I agree. I mean, you do get kind of – you want the challenge. You want to be a good enough team to take on LSU and Clemson in the first month of the season and go, you know, 4-0. But you also wouldn't mind every now and again having a North Alabama to start their season in on Labor Day weekend, and that way you can start 1-0. You don't have to do that week zero stuff. I think the week zero, like Jeff's talking about, gave you that extra bye week, which was nice. Ultimately, I think if you're going to go where you want to go, you're going to have to get used to winning some big games throughout the year. And to be honest, AC doesn't provide a lot of that. So going out of conference does, and that's going to require you playing week one, I think.
Yeah, you better get used to it because we got Alabama and Georgia coming up, I think four out of the next like 5 years or something like that. And I think Notre Dame might be in there too. So, I mean, it's nobody did us a favor, whoever scheduled those games. But, you know, and just real quick on the point that you made, talking about you have the opportunity to set yourself apart early in September. And, I had someone when I released my schedule edit, people were like, well, I don't like these games being in September because if you lose both of those, then you're probably out of the playoffs. And I said, yeah, but man, if you lose to LSU and Clemson, do you really want to be in the playoffs against a team like Georgia or Alabama anyway? Like, if you're going to accomplish the goals that you want to accomplish in 2023, I would rather be battle tested by winning those tough games than just kind of skating in because you found a way to get in the playoffs. And the point that I made with that is like, let's keep in mind, guys, you know, as this fan base, the person who built this program, Bobby Bowden, was always about anyone, anytime, anywhere. At a school like Florida State, you can't be scared of competition no matter when it's on the schedule. And like Matt made a good point, you know, and this was something that while you were correcting the internet issues, I had made a point about LSU last year. You know, they lost to us, then they got housed by Tennessee at home. But outside of that last embarrassing loss to Tennessee, they were number five in the country, so they had time to rebound. And so to me, it's like getting that early start. You're going to have that chance to separate yourself. But the point you made with the ACC, we don't have really a marquee because Pitt might be the only other ranked team that you're going to get on the schedule this year. So you don't really have that Alabama that LSU beat to get themselves up to number five. You don't have that on the schedule. So you need that out-of-conference schedule, those tough teams, to be able to elevate yourself. Now, next year, it probably won't matter when you're at a 12-team playoff. You know, you go – Florida State goes 11-1 in the regular season, 10-2 even, wins the ACC championship. You're in the playoffs. There's no doubt about that. But this year, you need that LSU game. You need that win, or else you're probably going to have one ranked team on the schedule, and that's Clemson and maybe Pitt.
Yeah,
and I'll kind of back your point up earlier about being battle tested. When baseball is around the corner, one of the biggest knocks I think on senior Mike Martin senior meet was that his teams weren't battle tested because they didn't schedule a tough opponent. They always scheduled the easiest first weekend of all time, and then when it got to the postseason, to be honest, it kind of showed at times. They'd go up against some tough teams, and it looked like they had never seen any decent teams all year. And because at times they hadn't. So I think they're taking a different approach with football. Now I wish the administration, I know a 12 team playoff was coming, and they didn't schedule Georgia and Alabama in 4 years in a row, but they didn't know that was coming. So.
Right.
But I mean, the thing is, you know, what's the old saying? Iron sharpens iron, you know?
Yep.
If we're climbing to what Mike Norvell and this coaching staff that's really doing a phenomenal job on the recruiting trail, if they're building what they're wanting to build and building that, by the time 25, 26 is Alabama and 27, 28, I think, is Georgia.
Yep.
By the time we get to those 4 years, we could be in that upper echelon with them two teams, you know. I mean, and really, who knows? We may be in the SEC then or the Big Ten. Yeah. So we don't know, really. I mean – but my thing about it is, you know, with those games, that's just going to bolster us better. I just would rather have that bye week in between Florida and Miami, how the schedule falls, because you know Miami is a tough game. No matter, I mean, just even this year with the blowout, it was still a physical game. I mean, and then you look at Florida 2 weeks later, physical game, emotional game. And then if it happens, and I hope it does, then we have to prepare for the ACC championship game against more than likely Clemson. So
I was surprised they put Miami so late in the year and Miami and Florida 2 weeks apart. That I did find a little odd. I thought they could have moved that game up a little bit. You know, and as far as the bye week goes, I know a lot of people complained about it being after Clemson. It would have been really nice to have it before Clemson, but you know the ACC is not going to do us any favors. But I don't necessarily mind that, because you're going to be coming off two, you know, a month of two really physical, hard games. You know, say, for instance, you get banged up or you end up dropping one of those games. I kind of don't mind having that bye week to kind of reset, let some guys get healthy. But, you know, like Matt was saying earlier, you know, I do kind of like that second bye week. It would have been nice just to kind of break things up, because now you have, I think it's like an 8 week run where you just got to stay healthy no matter what you do. But I will say the good thing is the way, if the season plays out the way we expect based on last year, you're going to have a lot of opportunity, which is something that Florida State has not had the last 4 to 5 years, where a lot of your top players should be on the bench after halftime. And I think that will kind of almost serve as like a backdoor bye week in a way, because you're going to have, you know, hopefully got guys in baseball hats on the sideline in the fourth quarter of about 5 or 6 games this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think like Virginia Tech and Syracuse are prime candidates for that option.
Yep.
And I mean, I did surprise Miami's late in the year, but Miami also could be mailing it in. If we don't think Cristobal is the coach we think he is, they could be, you know, 4-whatever.
There was a lot of quit on that team last year.
Yeah, we don't care. We don't want to be here. And so you won't get as tough a game as you would think. I mean, obviously that first quarter will be hyped and stuff, but I think after that all dies down, if Miami is as bad as they could be, they were this past year, it's going to be a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, though, we're this ain't, you know, Miami podcast, but did y'all see their schedule?
A little bit,
man.
I mean, if a football schedule was a bakery, that it's full of cupcakes. I mean, they start off with Miami of Ohio. Then they got Texas A&M, you know, Bethune-Cookman, Temple, Georgia Tech, North Carolina. Then they play Clemson, Virginia, NC State, then Florida State, then Louisville and Boston College.
But, you know, that's kind of how it went last year, though. I don't think they even played an FBS team a Power 5 team till like the fourth or fifth week, when it was Texas A&M. And so they kind of, you know, that's why Miami does what they do. They kind of get off to a hot start because they don't play anybody. And then they kind of fade later in the season. And I do think it's interesting now to see, you know, obviously we always argue back and forth with Miami fans about things, but they have failed to win the ACC in one of the weakest divisions in Power 5. And now you don't have that division helping you anymore. Like, I'm interested to see how they play at NC State. I'm interested to see when they have to take on Louisville, when they have to play Clemson on an annual basis. You know, last time they played Clemson in the ACC championship, they got run out of the stadium. So it'll be interesting to see how they do, because I've always made this point. Like, if you put Florida State in the Coastal, I mean, come on, we'd be in the ACC championship for probably at least 31 of the 31 years we've been in the ACC. So, you know, they're in, I think they're going to be in for a dose of reality when now the divisions are gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I mean, I think the easiest schedule though, to me, was Louisville. I think they dodged Florida State, Clemson, and UNC.
Yeah.
And
they got a cakewalk.
And someone else. So if you're trying to project here in January, which is hard to do, who might be in the ACC championship game, I think you've got to put Louisville in your top four just because of their schedule.
Yeah.
I do think that's a good point, because, you know, a lot of people just automatically assume we're going to get Clemson in the ACC championship, but that's not necessarily the case, because if you think you can beat Clemson and you do, you already hand them one ACC loss. And if you have like Louisville, who doesn't play anybody tough, they might go undefeated in the conference. So all it might take is for Clemson to have one more slip up. And, you know, it might be like all the years in the Atlantic where you had the divisions where like one or two losses is the one thing that kept you from getting a shot. Even if you were, you know, even if we would both agree or all agree that Clemson's probably better than Louisville, sometimes it's just that's the way the cards play. You know, it's the way everything plays out that matters more than anything.
Yeah.
I think Clemson's got kind of has a show me year. mean, they got the Riley guy out of TCU. They got their new quarterback who they all wanted to see start. He's their starter. And this is kind of like they've had good years. I mean, through Clemson standards, but their fans want, you know, playoff runs and things like that. So I think they've got to show what they're made of, and they can't have these games where they only win them by 3 points to Wake Forest or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so I'm interested to see what Clemson does. How do they handle this? How does Cade Plunkett handle this pressure that they're going to get?
Agreed.
Yeah. And I agree with that 100%. You know, Clemson, you know, they always, I mean, we all have seen them in the beginning of the year through three quarters of the season, I'd say really they're hot. And then there's always that one game that here recently they slip on, you know, the South Carolina game this past year,
even Syracuse, you know, I think was a 6 or 7 point game at home for them.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I think there's some, sorry, Jeff. I was gonna say, I think what, like Matt was saying, you see the cracks in the foundation, and I think Dabo heard the noise. That's why I think they made the change. He kind of did a lot of internal promotions, kind of hiring your guys, but I think he started to hear the walls closing in a little bit, so he knew he had to make some changes. And so you wonder if they're going to be able to kind of get back, because I think, you know, they have also benefited from Florida State being down and one of the worst periods in four decades. And so if you allow them to kind of come back, you know, you could see a changing of the guard this year in the ACC if Florida State's able to kind of pass them. Now, of course, they're probably still going to be the second best team in the ACC, but, you know, once it sometimes it doesn't take much for those little cracks in the foundation for the whole house to crumble. I mean, we, you know, who would have ever thought in 2014 when Florida State was on a 29-game win streak that we would have been where we were years later? So, you know, Auburn was the same way. Once Cam left, they went to, you know, whatever. Florida was the same way. And so it's like, it's hard to stay on top. It's not necessarily hard to get there, but it's hard to stay there. And, I mean, they've done a great job of it. There's no arguing that. But, and they still have a loaded roster from a lot of good recruiting. But you can start to see little by little, and you know, once that train loses some steam, how much are people going to want to stay on it? And he still refuses to go to the portal. So, you know, he may be a victim of his own demise here.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? They went double overtime with Wake Forest, and Wake Forest wound up being a subpar team this year. I mean, that, yeah, they beat us, but you take a couple of injuries and penalties, and that game's different with Wake, you know. But my thing is I like how the back end kind of sets itself up. It's manageable. It's very – I mean, you got – who do we got back in? You got Wake Forest. You got Duke homecoming. Wake Forest at Wake Forest, which is always a tough game anyway when we're in Wake. Then you got at Pitt, Miami, North Alabama, Florida. Me, I think, you know, say we drop one of the first four. Say we go into October 3-1. That still gives us that run at the back end to set our resume up for that push and all that. And with the quarterback carousel and all that, you know, Djokovic was with Boston College, now he's at Pitt. He wasn't really impressive to me, so that game to me is not – I'm not worried about that game. The only thing I'm worried about that game is the weather.
Yeah, cold weather game on the road.
Yeah.
It might not be cold, though. Yeah, it could be 71 week up there in November and – 28th next.
I hope so, because, man, I tell you what, like those Boston College games late in the year when we're a red bandana game, I'm always like, oh, who, why did we do this? But I think you're right. I mean, I think if we make it to October, I mean, especially 4-0. Now, 3-1 is say one of your losses is maybe like you flipped the LSU game last year. Say we lose by 1 point or something like that. If it's two really hard fought competitive games, you're 4-0 or maybe 3-1. You know, as long as they don't fall asleep at the wheel, I think they have a really good opportunity to run the table the rest of the way out, because you got Wake Forest with no Sam Hartman. They also lost A.T. Perry, who was a back-to-back 1,000-yard receiver. You know, like you said, you got Boston College, who's an absolute disaster, and just lost Djokovic and Zay Flowers, who were their two best players on the entire team. You know, you also have Pitt, who's kind of rebuilding a little bit. They got a good receiver, but I'm with you. I don't think Djokovic has really been an impressive guy to me. You know, you don't play NC State this year. You don't have Louisville this year. I think it really does set up for a nice, strong finish into the ACC championship.
So I'm the opposite. Yeah. I look at Duke at Wake and at Pitt as a super tough three-game stretch, and that you really need to dominate the Virginia Tech-Syracuse game to buy yourself an extra quote-unquote bye week. If you can kind of, you know, send Travis and company out for the first drive of that each of those first second halves, I mean, and have them in baseball caps, that'd be nice. But I mean, Duke showed a lot this year. I mean, Mike Elko could be a really good head coach for Duke. So I worry. And then at Wake, I can't stand Wake. And you should be able to beat Wake, but they seem to not be able to beat Wake ever. So,
right.
I worried about games this past offseason where the offense didn't show up in the first quarter. And it happened yeah. several times, the Wake Forest game, chief among them, and even the Oklahoma game. So I worry about, you know, when does that happen? And can they defense hold the team in check? And does it happen against a Virginia Tech or Syracuse? Or does it happen to Pitt, where I think Trakovic is a good quarterback? I think there's potential there. He just had an awful offensive line each year. He was there at Boston College.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is, you know, you take the Wake Forest game. Hartman's with Notre Dame now. And really, he was the master of the slow mesh that they ran. I mean, he was there since what? I mean, I probably mid-2000s is what it seemed like he was at Wake from. But he was the master.
That man had a mortgage. He had a mortgage by the time he left. That man.
He was kind of like that tight end that Miami signed that came from Oregon that has like 10 years of eligibility throughout the whole.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
College career. That's crazy. But, you know, who's their quarterback going to be? You know, it's up in the air, really. You know, they've lost so many weapons on offense. So, really, that game – except with being in Wake Forest, in Winston-Salem, I'm not worried too much about that one. Now, Matt, I do agree. If you look at the history of Florida State, there's always one game we stub our toe on. You know, 2012, it was NC State in NC State. 13, we were fine. But it's always one game a year that we stub our toe on or we just have a hiccup. And I think I'm worried about the Duke game, really. I mean, that Duke showed me a lot this year. And I'm just worried that might be that one game that it's homecoming. There's a lot of things going on around Tallahassee that weekend. I mean, Matt, you've been there personally and been around all that. A lot of distractions. Then you have Duke who's coming in. Who, like I said, they come in. They impressed last year, beat UCF in their bowl game. I'm just worried that could be like I want to say it was 2007, 2006, somewhere around there, when Wake Forest come in on homecoming and, I mean, just totally embarrassed Florida State.
Let's hope it's not that. Let's hope it's not 30-0. Yeah. We don't want that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Scrap the season.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm just saying that.
I will say on Duke, I kind of have a little – I'm kind of the opposite on Duke, and the reason why is I understand the distractions, and a 9-win season for Duke was unreal for that program last year. The reason I think Duke is going to come back to earth this year, and I see them winning, and this might sound a little odd, but I see them winning about 4-6 games. The reason I say that is because when you look at who they actually played last year, I have a note here where 6 of their 8 FBS wins came against teams with a losing record. 4 of those teams were 3-win teams and a 1-win Northwestern squad. Out of all 9 of their teams that they beat, the combined record was 35-57, including a 7-4 FCS team, which bumps that up a little bit. So when you look at who they really beat last year, they really don't have the only victory that really looks good on that schedule was Central Florida. And at the same time, that was what I think it was like the second or third game after they had just lost to a 2-win Navy team. So UCF was really inconsistent. Now, I think Elko's going to do good at Duke, and I think he deserved to get – I think he even got ACC Coach of the Year, because to get 9 wins at Duke, that's very impressive, and it was huge for that program. But if you look at their schedule this year, the ACC did not do them any favors. They do not get a cakewalk this year. You know, they opened with Clemson, and I think, you know, look, they're – schedule videos were hilarious. I'll give him credit for that. I'll give him props. It was funny. But you made fun of Dabo, and you made fun of us for crab legs. And I think that Duke is going to be the team that's not laughing at the end of the year because, you know, you stirred the pot, and I think they're writing checks they can't back up.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a really good point. I just worry about the game that you don't show up at, and you're facing a good head coach in Mike Elko. So if the game you don't show up is Duke, you might have a problem.
Right, right. And that was Wake Forest last year. You know, they Florida State talent-wise should have beat Wake Forest. And even NC State, like, you couldn't get 3 points in the second half to win that game. You know, the Florida State, that was one of my three things for this year that I think Florida State needs to do. It's time to be more consistent against better competition. You know, there's no more excuse. You have to be able to – you can't give up a 28-point run against Wake Forest. You can't get shut out in the second half and lose to a team that they has a quarterback they wouldn't let throw a forward pass. So, like you said, if they fall asleep at the wheel and they don't show up for a game, yeah, I mean, we saw it last year. They got beat in some games that I feel like they probably shouldn't have lost, and it could certainly happen this year. So they're going to have to be more consistent against good competition.
Yeah. I mean, there was a thing, you know, I think it was on Twitter. A guy asked something about what's my biggest expectation for him or what I'd see. And I put, you know, we learned how to beat the teams we were supposed to beat. You know, this year I want to see us, you know, stay healthy and beat the teams that we're equal to or, you know, that are better than us. And really looking at the schedule, and I'm not trying to stub our toe or saying it's a very manageable schedule. I mean, I would almost say, you know, just me personally, anything less than 10 wins, in my eyes, just 10 regular season wins, honestly, is a disappointment this year. Because
I agree with that.
I mean, you know, that's just me. You know, we have more. We brought back nearly our whole daggum team, except, you know, like Jamie Robinson and the seniors that left. You added in some good transfers. I mean, I think as much as I loved this team this past season, and with the weapons we had, and I mean, we all felt, you know, with the team we had this year, we were unstoppable at times. Now you're bringing in you're bringing in Gilbert from South Carolina, who is just, I mean, phenomenal. You know, you've enhanced the offensive line. I just think, honestly, 10 wins regular season, anything less than that's a failure in my eyes. But, I mean, Matt, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely don't disagree. I mean, I thought about going the 2-2 in September. That's a real possibility, unfortunately. And you're out of the playoff picture, but I think you still have goals in front of you, like winning the ACC. Now you have to go the rest of the way. You can't stub your toe at all. More than likely, you're going to have to face Clemson again in the title game. But I think, yeah, you're right. I think if you go 9-3, it's not – you don't – that's taking a step almost backwards with the – Jaheim Bell and the Byers kid and all the other guys you picked up with Cypress and Edmund. So four key, huge pieces you got there in the transfer portal. So if you can't take advantage of this and everyone coming back, you're here to play. And this is saying you're not going to get a serious injury to like Travis or something like that. But anything less than 10-2, I think, is definitely a disappointment. And I think if you go 10-2, you're probably going 11-2 to win the ACC.
Yeah. So go ahead.
I was going to say, and I'll echo that too, just kind of some of my expectations. And I think Matt makes a great point. All of this hinges on staying healthy because, you know, knock on wood, if you lose Jordan Travis, I mean, I know Tate has another year in the system. He was able to get a win for you at Louisville on the road, which was big for him. But you also had a team that refused to shade any extra help to Johnny Wilson, who was a guy who was uncoverable that night. So I think your goals would certainly change. I think people, I'm on the boat of 12-0 is on the table. It is certainly on the table. A national championship is within reach, but I think people might be getting a little over their skis too early. I think that what I pretty much said on one of my episodes was, I think 10 regular season wins, an ACC championship and a New Year's Six bowl game, like basically the season that Clemson had last year, that kind of, you know, maybe it looks better than how they won it, but that kind of season would be a step forward for Florida State, because you're still, you're winning the first conference title since 2014. You know, you're getting back to 10 double digit regular season wins and things like that. So I think 10-2 is probably your floor of where anything less than that is disappointment, because like you said, you're stepping backwards. You know, I'd still like to see maybe them get another safety out of the portal. So there's something there, but you know, I think to Jeff's point, you already felt good about what you had, but now you're bringing in, like, look at your offensive line. You have a potential to have guys who have a multitude of starts at the Power Five level as depth players. Whereas before, we're bringing in guys from Northern Illinois, Lamar, you know, who are going to be your starters, where you're relying on those guys to translate. You know, you may have a guy, say, like a Casey Roddick or a Keironjay Jones, and if you have Demetri Emmanuel come back as well, you could have a guy with 20-something starts at the Power 5 level who's a depth player now. So I think you have built a lot. I also think you're going to see a big difference with Patrick Surtain as your defensive backs coach. You know, looking at some of the things he said in his opening statement today, just about teaching guys to play the ball better, to get more turnovers, I think you're going to see a step up in your secondary there. So to me, I'm in agreement. I think anything less than 10 wins in a regular season is a little bit of a disappointment. But even if they don't win the national title, I know people are going to complain. But, you know, I mean, like I made the point earlier, Alabama has more 5-stars on the bench than we have on the roster. And they didn't make it to the playoffs last year. So, you know, I think 11-2 with the ACC championship going into the Orange Bowl is a humongous success. Just knowing that that's still an accomplishment in kind of turning the tide in the conference.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I'm going to be honest. Go ahead. I don't think a national championship is, I mean, it's possible. I mean, if you can find a way to win that first game, and it could happen in a one game scenario, but I can't sit here and say I'm going to predict a national championship or think they're going to win it. I mean, I watched that Georgia team and they're bringing a lot of those guys.
They're a machine.
So that team's young. So,
yeah, they're an absolute machine right now. And I will say the thing about the LSU game, and this was in the article I wrote on the schedule breakdown, this is a huge game because I think so many people, like the hype train for Florida State, and this is what makes me nervous more than anything. We haven't seen this team play with expectations yet. And how do they handle that? Also, at the same time, everybody's telling Dabo is falling apart. What's happening? So you're putting their backs against the wall too. And I think the reason the LSU game is so big is because the Florida State hype train is at full steam ahead right now. And I think a lot of people are kind of waiting on that LSU game to validate that hype. You know, the game should have realistically probably been about 35-17 last year if we don't fumble on the 1-yard line. So if you come out and you handle LSU, you know, pretty decently, it's not a blocked extra point or something like that, okay, you know, we can have that conversation. But like you said, I think until you see how they perform with expectations on their backs against LSU in that big opening weekend, I think a national championship is a lofty goal, but I think it's possible. I mean, you saw TCU make it, but you also don't want to end up 65-7 against Georgia, which I don't think Florida State would have even been that bad, honestly. But I think it's possible for them to make it. But you still have a team like Georgia who's an absolute machine and has a schedule that's weak as water. So they're going to be right back in it more than likely. So I wouldn't say that not winning a national championship is definitely – I don't think that's a disappointment by any means.
No.
Yeah. Man, to be well, speaking of yeah. Speaking of Demetri Emmanuel, you know, you had mentioned, you know, if he comes back and all that. I just pulled it up on my phone. On the 2023-2024 FSU football roster on Seminoles.com, he's listed for this coming up year. Where everybody,
yeah, they said they were trying to get him a waiver. They said they were trying to get a waiver for something in 2019. I'm not really sure, but he's still on the roster. So I would assume they're already guessing that he's going to be available. Now, also, Caden Lyles is no longer on the roster. Obviously, I think he's going to transition into like a coaching role. I think he's going to be a GA this year. So you do lose him, but it sounds like they're pretty confident they're going to get him back. But even if not, you have a couple of guys that can fill in the holes, but it sounds like he is going to be back. I get, you know, I don't think they would list him on the roster if they didn't think they were going to get that waiver.
I mean you look
also,
at it.
You got guys that didn't, you know, Bless Harris, obviously is not the same position, but you got options. We got a lot of young guys. If Schrader ever turns in anything or
right.
Estes, or a lot of younger guys that can step up if needed. I mean, Armella, you know, obviously tackled, but you know, you have guys along the offensive line that haven't proven it yet that I think are pretty talented down below Emmanuel.
Exactly. And you also, it gives you, like you said, it gives you options, because the other thing is, like, a lot of people are automatically pushing Jeremiah Byers into guard because of his measurables. But you have a guy who, granted, I get it, it was at a lower level school, but his entire experience in college, over 2,000 snaps, I think, was all at right tackle. He was an all-conference player at right tackle. So at least now you have the ability to leave him at right tackle, because personally, I think that's a better option than what you're going to get from Bless Harris. Now, I think it's going to be more of an Armella and Byers battle there. And I hope that if it's not Armella, that doesn't like run him off. I don't think so. He seems to be pretty locked in on this team. But like you said, it just, you have so many more options this year, even defensive line. You know, last year when you lost Fabian Lovett, that was it. I mean, like, you had some young guys who flashed, but they couldn't stop the run. You know, now you have, if he were to go out, I think Daryl Jackson is better than what you got from Jared Jackson. You know, Braden Fisk is, I think he's probably a little better than what you got out of Robert Cooper. That's no dish on Robert Cooper. I know he had to eat a lot of double teams last year and things like that, but I think you're seeing more depth now. I think you're seeing more options that you can kind of shuffle guys around to get the best. You know, offensive line, you feel good about 8 or 9 guys now. And that does play huge over the course of a season.
Which is crazy to think about, coming from like 4 years ago where you were the worst offensive line in all of Power Five. Yeah.
They say people who were around the program, you couldn't even hardly run practice because the scout team was so bad. And so now you got guys, you know, that from that big 2021 class who are 3 and 4 stars who are still your practice player guys. And that makes such a huge difference, because like Jeff said, iron sharpens iron. So that, I mean, just being able to have a high level of competition and practice just makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. I mean, just kind of going off course real quick. What's the one game this coming up here that kind of worries you, Jesse?
Well, if we're going to go outside of Clemson and LSU, because obviously those are the ones that worry you the most. Yeah. I would have to say it's probably a tie between Pitt, and I know this is going to sound kind of bad, but maybe even Florida. Now, I understand they don't have Anthony Richardson anymore, and I'm not sold on Graham Mertz. You know, I was trying to point out to a Florida fan before we were recording that, like, hey, we had a Wisconsin transfer at quarterback, and don't get your hopes up there. But, you know, Florida played them a lot closer than I thought last year. And it was, anything goes in a rivalry game. I just don't think Miami is going to close a 42-point gap coming into Doak this year. I think that game's still going to get out of hand. But Florida to have a 45-38 game in Doak when Florida State was rolling, you know, they had won 4 in a row by blowouts, and that was their 5th win in a row or something like that. It just does concern me a little bit, because Florida does still have a few talented players on the roster. Now, they lost a lot to the transfer portal, but they have 2 quality backs, and you also have to go into the swamp. So the other thing that I know Mike Norvell talks about constantly, there's 2 games that they circle all year, and that's Miami and Florida. They do certain preparations things throughout the season for that. But at the same time, the concern for me about Florida is, if, like we talked about earlier, if you know you have a huge rematch with Clemson right around the corner for the ACC championship, it's hard to say they're going to overlook a rivalry game. But say Florida comes in the same situation. They're a 5 or 6 win Florida team. Do they start peeking ahead to Clemson? So I just worry a little bit about Florida, and then, you know, maybe Pitt if it's cold or something like that. But that's pretty much that. Those are the 2 that I kind of got my eye on.
Yeah.
What about you, Matt?
Just picking back off of that, I mean, I'm not gonna take the same picks. I got a different one. But I want to add to that Florida comment. I mean, it reeks of 2012, right? Where you're what were they, 11-1 or something like that going into that game? 11-1, I believe. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. And they just lay an egg. EJ Manuel has a terrible game. Florida had something to play for, as best bus champ team they had, but it wasn't like they were playing for, you know, an SEC title the following week, but you were playing for an ACC title the following week. So that's a good, really good point. I don't like they lost a lot of the offensive line, like you said. So I can't pick Florida. My answer is Pitt, but you pick Pitt. I'm going to go a different route though, as Wake. But I think you could be getting told for 3 weeks straight how good you are, especially if you're 3-1 or you'd be 6-1. And you could land against Wake at noon. So,
Yeah. Well, really, I mean, I have to go with Florida because emotional game, you know, peeking ahead, like Jesse said, at Clemson, coming off of a really 2 weeks removed from a Miami game. It's going to be physical, like I said earlier. But the only thing, you know, every week, and this is just kind of off the shoulder real quick, every week Mike Norvell picks a different color combination. We know that. You know, different uniform style every now and then. As long as we don't come out week five all black against Virginia Tech at home, ugh, I'm good. I mean,
man, let me tell you, I regrettably have to admit, I was swag surfing in the crowd for that one. You know, for about 30 minutes, I don't think I've ever been that hype in Doak Campbell Stadium. It was, man, like if you had asked me right before Florida State kicked the ball off, man, hey, we're going to the national championship, son. We are hype. We got the black uniforms. We're about to bury Virginia Tech. Yeah, that didn't last long. I'm actually hoping that's a payback game because they mocked the war chant and the chop and all that in the stadium that night. I mean, I hope they lay it on Virginia Tech.
I would think the black uniform comes out at North Alabama. I think he's done it 2 years in a row. The cupcake game before Florida, he does all black uniforms. So I think that's where you see him.
Yeah. Yeah. But, Jesse, I mean, we're about to wrap things up. Why don't you tell the people that's listening, you know, how they can see your content, how they can hear your podcast, what all you're on, and really about Plant the Spear.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So you can find us. We're on, of course, all your social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I still won't jump on the TikTok train, so you don't even have to look there. Obviously, you can find a podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Google, Apple, all that good stuff, as well as YouTube. I'm getting ready to release, actually, my schedule breakdown video. Hopefully, I'm going to record tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that. And then, of course, you can just go to plantthespear.com and find everything, links to everything there, YouTube, podcast, social media. It's all listed on our website. So check us out there. And I do appreciate you having me on. It's always a good time.
I mean, for myself, Matt, Jesse, we appreciate y'all watching. Appreciate you listening to it. If you're listening on Apple device or anywhere you listen, give us a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, like, subscribe, give us feedback. We always like to hear how we can do things better. And like I said, as for all of us, thank you and go Noles.
Go Noles.